Good morning, everyone. I'm Sue Ellen Miller, and I'm the local girl from down the street. University of California, San Francisco actually has their Global Health Center on Beale Street between Mission and Market, so we're less than a mile away. I'm inviting people to come down and visit. I want to give lots of credit here this morning to the methodological party, Alison Elayadi, who actually did the meta-analysis I'll be discussing today. So I'm not going to go over what's already been said this morning by my very esteemed panel. We know that obstetric hemorrhage is the number one cause of maternal mortality globally, and we know that the reason that women die is because of delays, that women do not have the ability to rapidly get to the kind of care that's needed, and this has been already outlined. So in 2002, quite by accident, I discovered a device that was being barely used by EMTs in the United States, called the non-pneumatic anti-shock garment, and had the aha that this might be a way of overcoming all of the time delays that kill women in developing countries who need to access blood and surgery when they've had severe obstetric hemorrhage. And so the non-pneumatic anti-shock garment, as you see here, is a simple, very simple, low-tech device made of neoprene, which is a stretchy material like a wetsuit. It closes very tightly around the lower portion of a woman's body with industrial strength Velcro. It applies something called circumferential counterpressure, which will decrease further blood loss and reverse shock so that the woman's heart, lung, and brains are perfused with oxygen. It's really simple. We teach anyone, ambulance drivers, cleaners, guards, anybody, how to put it on in just a few minutes. Management takes more than that, and removal takes more than that, but the actual application, the life-saving first aid application, can be taught to anyone in just a few minutes. The NASG is unique in hemorrhage and shock care. It is not an either-or kinds of situations, which over the years I've always having to face people say, well, why would I use this bulky device when there's misoprostol? Misoprostol and the NASG can be used together for uterine atony. Misoprostol will not reverse shock. Only a device like a circumferential counterpressure device will reverse shock. The NASG is not a standalone, it's first aid. It's only meant to stabilize the woman until she can reach the type of care that women who are in severe shock will need, which is a blood transfusion or surgery. And as Richard said, those are very far from the majority of women delivering at the community level. To date, since 2002, we have been involved, UCSF, in about 5,500 documented cases of NASG use. 4,097 of those have been in clinical trials, and another 1,400 have been documented by Pathfinder International in their implementation projects in India and Nigeria. And I'd like to say that Pathfinder has actually, in their projects, which, again, implementation projects, have used the NASG on many more women than this 1,400, but it's the 1,400 that we have the kind of documentation that we can use to demonstrate via something like I'm going to describe soon in a meta-analysis how effective this has been. So the meta-analysis is five studies that have been conducted at tertiary care facilities. Egypt in 2006, a combined study of Egypt and Nigeria, which was published in 2010, current studies going on in Harare and Lusaka, which were published in 2012, a study in the Copper Belt of Zambia in 2012, and an implementation project in India in 2012. Why did we do this meta-analysis? As everyone here knows, mortality is a rare event, and in fact, when we embarked on our NASG studies, we were told that we were really crazy to think that we could do studies that would show a reduction in maternal mortality. And somewhat true, we have small sample sizes that sometimes lack statistical power. However, the effect of this device is so strong that we have seen effect sizes ranging from 30 to 50% reduction in maternal mortality. So we may lack statistical power, but when we put everything together in a meta-analysis, as you'll see, we do have statistical power. We can't really repeat these studies too often because our partners in country, once they see that the device has such an effect on women's lives, do not want to be in a control arm, do not want to have a prolonged pre-intervention phase so that we can collect the kind of data that we need for comparison. So we are faced with ethical challenges and practical challenges in trying to do these studies for much longer. So we have our meta-analysis to combine all the available evidence. As I mentioned, these are 5 studies that were conducted. It's published between 2006 and now. These were all quasi-experimental. So a period of standard care, and then a period of standard care plus the NASG intervention. And again, in India, this was intervention study. Sometimes in the same facilities, the providers used the NASG, and sometimes they didn't on similar patients. So we have a range of research from places like Egypt, where they were very research sophisticated, were used to keeping track of data, to really almost just as if it was implementation in the real world sense. I've mentioned the places where the studies were conducted around the globe. Our total sample is 3,561 women. So we now have a very large sample of women. They were all, at the time of entry into the study, in severe, they suffered from severe obstetric hemorrhage, and they had documented hypovolemic shock by their blood pressures, pulses, or their lack of consciousness. So these are not women who are threatening. They're not women who've just bled a certain amount. These are women who are actually suffering from shock. Over the 5 studies, 1,614, or 45.3%, received standard care and the NASG, and 1,947, 54.7%, had standard care only. The variables that we looked at were demographic, hemorrhage etiologies, how much blood they had estimated at the time they entered the study. We used the objective outcome of mean arterial pressure, and we actually looked at some women who had MAPs less than 60. These are women who really have objective evidence that their brains, heart, and lungs are not being perfused with oxygen. We used level of consciousness. Our outcomes were really measured blood loss and mortality, so it's a pretty simple yes-no outcome. Demographically, the women were very similar, with a mean age of about 28. Parity was a mean of about 2.7, and the range was not that great, 1.8 to 3.3. Those participants who had this mean arterial pressure less than 60 were in each of the groups, and in most of the groups in the NASG phase, they tended to have more women who were in more severe condition. So while this isn't the ideal if you're doing a randomized trial, this would cause some bias. In fact, the bias works in our favor because these were women in worse condition, and as you'll see from the outcomes, they had better outcomes. So the outcomes on measured blood loss, we pretty much reduced measured blood loss after entry into the study once they were receiving resuscitation by about 50%, with the range going from in Lusaka and Harare, women who were treated with standard care only went on to bleed another 500 milliliters before they were completely resuscitated, while women who received the NASG only lost 150 milliliters. So this is a very large and statistically significant difference. Only in the Copper Belt of Zambia did we see no change in blood loss. Here's the forest plot for the effectiveness of the NASG, and you can see, again, the outcomes for mortality are mostly to the reduced death side, and only in the Copper Belt did we have no change or a slightly increased risk, and I can talk about that a little bit more in questions. So when we pull the odds ratios for mortality on all of these women, we have an odds ratio of 0.62, 95% confidence interval, 0.44 to 0.86. A very clear protective effect of the NASG treatment with a 38% reduced odds of mortality. I didn't make a slide for this, but when we looked only at the women who had severe shock, those with a mean arterial pressure less than 60, it was actually a 63% statistically significant decrease in mortality. So this is so clinically significant, but when we pull everything together, we also get statistical significance. So lots of limitations to this. Observational data, these were not randomized trials. We have a small number of maternal deaths. There are a few trials involved. And we do have some quality concerns around our Copper Belt trial. And a very disclosure here, the lead researcher, who was me on all of those trials, was also the lead researcher on the meta-analysis. So hopefully somebody else will take a look at this data besides our group so that we can get some other voices heard here. Strengths are that we've included all the NASG trials that exist. The inclusion and exclusion criteria were consistent across the studies. All the trials had a quasi-experimental approach, and we included published and peer-reviewed abstracts. There were no unpublished studies in this. One of the great things that has happened this year, and we're thrilled to announce it, is that the World Health Organization has put the NASG onto their recommendations for the treatment and prevention of postpartum hemorrhage. So let's all hear it for that. It's a weak recommendation on low quality evidence, but it's there. And I know that for all of us who have been working to get misoprostol on, the fight has been quite intense. So we're very thrilled to see this happening. And the WHO has recognized that this makes a difference, and they want to get it out there as quickly as possible, temporizing women until they can get to a higher level of care. So, conclusion. Tertiary level, which is where all of these quasi-experimental studies were done, the NASG plus standard obstetric hemorrhage hypovolemic shock management reduces maternal mortality. We still need evidence for the benefits of the NASG at the primary and community level, and fortunately, we just finished our data collection of a randomized cluster trial at the primary healthcare centers in Zambia and Zimbabwe, and we should have that data analyzed and hopefully fast-tracked for publication in early 2013. So, acknowledging so many people at so many institutions, I won't name everyone, but you can see that there were a lot of places involved, and I want to thank you all. Thanks.